Welcome to Faith Uncut, a podcast where we explore faith in ways that might get you kicked out of most churches. I'm your host, Mike.
And I'm Amira.
And Nicholas Gaines is back on the show, Nick.
Hey.
Put you on staff, man.
Welcome back.
Sound a retainer or something.
We ain't got no money.
So this is the first show we're recording after we got an award this week. Someone recognized us
for
the work that
we're doing. Wow.
This is
so I woke up to a nice notification that said we were in the list of top 10 podcasts about faith that you must listen to. And I agree.
Subscribe to. Yes.
I agree with that. I think that you should listen to and subscribe to us. I mean, you're doing it now, but you should tell somebody else to do it too, because this is the award-winning Faith Uncut podcast.
Oh, my goodness.
Yo, that is so dope.
She about to break out my fur. Oh, my God.
And it's good that we got Nick on the show, too, because a lot of my favorite shows are Nicholas Gaines shows. I mean, that's what we do. That's what we do, some amazing work. So,
yes.
Thank you.
So, congratulations, Nick.
Y'all can stop. No, yo, I think it's wonderful that, like, Faith Uncut is recognizing the award-winning Faith Uncut. Like, y'all are out here really having the conversations that people really aren't having. And I'm just so honored to be at the table with y'all having the conversations. Without a podcast like this, I really feel like, I don't feel like until I listened to your podcast the first time that I'd heard a podcast like it that was like mature and funny and merging faith and culture and religion all in the same thing in ways that were really just like nuanced and full. So congrats to y'all.
Thank you, man. You make it sound like we should get an award or something, man. I like that. All right, so this week we're going to talk about
gathering your friends.
Child.
And this, I mean, sometimes it's necessary, okay? Social media streets, these ill-advised streets. At times, you might find yourself in a position of having to, for lack of a better term, get somebody together. So we're just going to talk about what that looks like, why it seems to be happening. I don't want to say more, but I think the fact that it can happen online or offline and, you know, depending on people's values and their beliefs and things, I think it's just important that we kind of clock in. We acknowledge that it's happening and we acknowledge that sometimes it's necessary, you know, where you're growing. Sometimes you outgrow things and certain things can happen. Things come up when you're growing.
Yeah, it's important. I mean, because you are growing and you are not the same you that you've always been. So some of the people that you have in your social media circles or even in your real life circles knew you before you were the person you are now.
Before you were Woke Bay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Woke Bay with a beard. Hey.
Okay.
It's a muscle, you know?
Yeah.
Woke Bay with a beard and a six pack.
Well,
you know?
Before listen, they knew you, come on. You were happily ashed. And it's
fashion.
I don't have a six pack. I have whatever they sell at Costco. the family.
Hilarious.
So when people like when they know you before, is it Nick? Do you find it's kind of awkward that those people will see your growth and then maybe be tempted to remind you of who you were?
Oh God. You know, I think what I've experienced is that the people that are in my life now are the people who need to be there for this season of life that I'm in. There are people who will send me messages or emails from some work that I've done and really are upset with who I am and really try to hold me to a caricature of who I was. So it's like, in order for them to rock with me, I have to perform in the way that they were used to and that they approve of. Otherwise, it's like a lot of conflict and confrontation via email. And I don't rock with that. Like, you can be here or not, but I've said on a million shows, I won't and will not be contorting to anything aside from who I am. And so people will literally be like, well, you know, people will send me messages from Moody, the seminary I went to, like, I can't believe you said this, and this is antithetical to the Bible and blah, 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 blah. And it's like, okay. People will say, somebody sent me an email saying, I remember writing a piece and it was called You Are Not Broken. And essentially I was telling people that, like, you know, I was wanting them to critically examine this theology that we're broken and dirty rags and wretched and all these things that, you know, the church, some church circles would want us to believe about ourselves. And so this person literally sent me 12 emails about it. Like, that's not what the Bible says. And you are a wretch undone without Jesus. And I'm like, okay. Well, then you go believe that. Right. I don't believe that, but thank you.
The power of okay is mind altering though.
It really, and because at the end of the day, people, we all get to believe what we want, and I don't have to, like, you get to walk away with your beliefs and I get to walk away with mine, and I get to wake up and be moisturized every day.
So what I'm saying about the power of OOK, you know, sometimes people are baiting you. They want to argue with you. They want, and they want to argue with you about you. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So when you, we've talked about centering yourself, we've talked about the fact that censorship is a long and a short form of oppression. People want to control how you express the thoughts that occur to you.
Yes.
And the power of OOK leaves them to argue with themselves, right?
So,
you know, they say, don't argue with a fool because far away, you know, nobody knows who's who. Mm-hmm. It's that type of thing. Like when you tell me I don't agree with you and I say, okay.
Mm-hmm.
I'd literally have stopped the momentum of whatever train you were on that might have been trying to change my position or undermine, you know, my side of the argument. If I have time for that, I have time for that. But the worst thing someone can feel is entitled to your time to argue about you. So in this great gathering, sometimes it's that. It's the fact that, like, sometimes to gather people is to literally open your hand and say, okay.
Well, because people can't, you know, drive you wild or drive you crazy if you don't give them the keys. You get to control how we interact with people. You know, this person's pushing my buttons. You give them the controller. We don't have to do that. And so I think, as you said, the power of okay is reminding ourselves, I'm in control of me. I'm not in control of how you perceive me. I'm not in control of how you experience me. I'm not in control of what you think of me. I'm not in control of what you want me to be. I'm just in control of me.
And I think that it's important for each of us to give ourselves and others the permission to evolve. I know we had an incident, or there was an incident in the news recently about Kevin Hart and some stuff that he said that we will not repeat on the show. But some tweets resurfaced from years ago, and he had the opportunity to correct this, and he chose to forego that opportunity. And it was under the guise of, you know, I've apologized for these things, and they're really hurtful things. I've apologized for these things. I'm not going to keep apologizing. You know, people have to grow. And I think people.
But did you apologize? Did you apologize?
Well, see, I don't know when he apologized, because it wasn't this time. It was another time. And I know about myself. I've been trash, and I am trash. And so, so it's not difficult for somebody to find some trash on me. So if that were to happen, if I'm genuinely sorry for what I did, it's not a thing to apologize about it, even if I've apologized
unless
about it before.
Unless you're in somebody's ego space, which I think this might have been, is the collision of having that huge opportunity and then being like,
yeah, but see, here's the thing. The stuff that I've said that may have harmed someone else, if I have grown, I'm genuinely contrite. Okay.
You've really grown.
Right. So I did apologize before, but that doesn't matter because you're seeing it now. And I apologize that this thing that I said a long time ago or did a long time ago really is still hurting you. Like that really does bother me. And so that shouldn't be a hardship to apologize again to a new person who your old trash hurt.
Right. It shouldn't be.
I mean, because I think in this situation, what has been interesting is that people really seem to think that his intention, he didn't intend to harm anybody. I didn't intend to hurt you. I didn't intend to be vile against the LGBTQIA plus community. But it's like intention and impact are not the same. Whether you intended to harm anybody or not, the impact of your words, especially in a climate like we have of having a government system be one of the largest systems that is oppressing folks, to have you, you know, it's funny because it's like, yes, you can, people who are oppressed, you know, he being a black man, you can still use your privilege in other ways to oppress people. And that's exactly what he's doing, what he did. And so it's really been sad I think to watch not only him not apologize for what he said, but also not recognize the damage and the implications of what those words mean. And then to take it a step even further and see folks out here caping for him and doing the contortionist Olympics to defend him, including D.L. Hughley, including Nick Cannon, including your Man Crush Monday, defending this homophobia, which is sad because you look around and you start to really see who people are when these situations happen. And that's really what I enjoy about this. I really hate what happened. I hate what he said. I hate how it impacts people. I hate the ways that his son will have to perform masculinity so his dad doesn't do what he said he would do if his son didn't do it well enough. But I also enjoy seeing people be who they are so I know to stay away.
Yeah, and I don't really want, we didn't want to, in our pre-production, we didn't want to deal with like specifically him too much. The reason why he's coming up is because before we start gathering our friends, we need to know who we are, like, right. And who we've been.
Right.
And be able to deal with that honestly before we start to go out. And for instance, I was talking to somebody this weekend, you know, people who come to church and they're fresh at church and, you know, they have, they're on fire for God. They have all this zeal and it's like, wait a minute, you're new. So before you start gathering somebody, you got to assess, am I new? Like, am I, am I in a position to be like this person? Do I still have a lot to learn? And that's usually, well, always going to be the case, but I need to accept the fact that, I got some stuff that I hope people extend a little grace to me. And I need to be mindful of how I do that as I'm starting to gather. But then you got some people where you just got to get them together like now.
So I think that, you know, again, switching back over to how social media kind of highlights this, right? Mm-hmm. So over the years, like just like that, we've had Facebook for over 15 years and Twitter for definitely over 10 or 12 or something like that. But it just seems like things pop off in this virtual space that maybe wouldn't happen that way if we were meeting at a bookstore or having dinner together. You know, I don't know that somebody would just say something all the way to the left to your face, mm-hmm. you know, sitting at a table in a civil space where you could reach over there and, you know, literally get them together. Mm-hmm. But it happens, right? So, and sometimes people are caught flat-footed because in this wide open space of everybody getting to express themselves, sometimes we can't stop people from saying those things that are absolutely out of the way, mm-hmm. you know, attacking, violent in some ways, disparaging of people's character. We can't always, you know, be the chaperone, but it goes down. So, you know, what do we do? What do we do when somebody comments on an otherwise innocuous post about anything, some sort of personal belief or personal comment that kind of just...
Because it's those people. So it's the people who knew you before. Mm-hmm. Before you started to evolve.
Well, it's the people who don't even really know you. Every one of your social media friends don't know you.
I try to curate mine a little bit more. Right. So usually for me, it's the people who knew, who we used to joke inappropriately about whatever. And so now, you know what I'm saying, I post something years later and they still on the same joke time. Right. You know what I'm saying? So now it's on my timeline. And I'm like, okay, so here we go. Now we got to deal with something. Yeah. And that's what I find happening more. Now, I don't know what's going on in your space.
I mean, my timeline is not trash. Let me start there.
It's not.
But see, I'm a silent assassin. So I like to observe. You know what I mean? So you've seen this where if you're in the same networks with certain people, it's not just what they're commenting for you. It's what they're commenting on other people's pages. And now, if they're commenting on public posts, like a news post, sometimes mm-hmm. it'll show you that because this person was on your friends list. Mm-hmm. What I have done or what I find myself doing is once somebody showed me the power of the block, the unfollow, the unfriend, I use it because everything is not for my energy to.
Yes. Yes.
I guard my energy because a lot of that sometimes is about people wanting the attention and seeing who's going to take the time. I'm not doing that. Yeah. And if I'm not depending on, you know, I've had inbox conferences, but it doesn't really go that deep because if you hit me with the, oh, okay, I can respect it because I know where that's coming from. You mm-hmm. see what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's the power of, I said what I said. Mm-hmm. Cool. You just can't say it over here.
Yeah, right. It's your space.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So that's, I mean, yeah, my timeline, I mean, it pops, but it's not what it used to be. It used to just be a free for all because I didn't really know how the platform worked. But when certain people are, they keep commenting, they keep up with the homophobic or transphobic comments, or they are not as smart as they think they are. They don't read.
Oof.
Okay.
Yeah. Amen. That's real.
So
Amen.
I let them go.
Amen, woman of God.
And I let them go and be non-literate wherever they want to go and do that because they have a community. Mm-hmm. It doesn't have to include me.
Right.
I'm good with it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I don't have my timeline is not that bad. Like it, thankfully I've, you know, hung out with some decent folks and a lot of my people are real life people. So it's harder for me to just block and do all that stuff with people that I actually know that I form a relationship with, that I do care about those relationships with. But luckily for me, like they don't do what the things that I would have to consider blocking them for.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
right.
So, you know, occasionally, like I'll see a notification come by in a name and I'm like, oh shit. And then I look and it's like, oh, but for the most part, I'm pretty good. What about you, Nick?
My timeline. So I had a Facebook. I had a Facebook. I shut it down. I started pastoring at a new church in 2011, and so I got a new Facebook. And then when I left pastorate, left chaplaincy, I literally started deleting people. But I also started deleting people who like weren't making space for me to evolve. But then what I also started doing is friending people who thought very different than what I thought. So I started friending people who were, you know, thinkers and influencers. If I heard somebody on a podcast and I enjoyed it, I friended them. If I read an article by someone that I thought was really dope or smart or a point that I thought was really salient, I found them and friended them. If I thought somebody was really like, oh, that was interesting, or I saw them on a documentary, I friended them. And honestly, in the course of like 2 years, it just changed. It literally changed how I thought, because now I'm surrounded by people who are thinking, some like me, some not like me, some way out of the box. But it started, but you know, every day people post things and then you start thinking about things differently. And then what I do is they'll post something and I live for the comment section, because comments always help me think like, this is how people think.
I go swimming in there.
No, I said, I live for the comment section. What I'm saying is like, I love kind of like, I think, and Mike, I've told you this more than once, I think Mike is one of the smartest people I've met. I always read his comments and I'm like, that is so brilliant. Yeah. Like, why didn't I think of that? Or why? Like, that's a different way to think of it. Yeah, and so
I'm really flattering today.
I go, you know, I'm over here. But true story, like I'm always impressed with people and I'm like, wow, I really wish I could be like more well-rounded in that. Or I'll read a comment and then I'll like Google it, you know? So people ask me a lot, well, why do you feel so strongly about things, or how do you have these convictions? And a lot of it is because I'm always reading comment sections with people's experiences, or I'm, you know, I've curated my Facebook in a way that is always encouraging my growth. And so now I don't have the energy. Like, I don't need to prove my rightness. I definitely prefer relationship over rightness. And I don't feel like I need to show y'all my politics. Like, I am who I am. Y'all see that. And I'm gonna keep moving.
Yeah. I think for me, again, from the observer standpoint, I just try to figure out people's voice and perspective before I jump in to something, because it really does sap your energy, especially when I know I'm right. And it's not about so much about being right. It's about being right in the face of someone who doesn't care that they're wrong.
Yeah,
that can be very, very draining.
Right.
But I do feel like the exchange of ideas has gained more quality because I'm literally not giving too much parity to those things that are not well thought through, you know. And sometimes there's a sincere desire for more information, and you know, people almost, they're starting to now present their thoughts that way. If they're sincerely looking for feedback or they're trying to grow in a certain area, they will say that because they don't want to be a part of the drag and the cancellation, which I think can be a knee jerk reaction to foolishness that you might see posted. Yeah. But right. I'm not a master of shade, but I definitely know my way around shady stuff.
Yeah.
And I just don't pay it. You understand what I'm saying? Like, sometimes people try to be slick. They try to be funny about things that are not funny. You know what I mean? Or things that should engender a little bit more sincerity than maybe that person wants to. But I'm not your mother. right? So there's two things I'm not doing. I'm not always getting ready to correct you, and I'm not going to embarrass you for the sake of embarrassment either. It literally comes down to, how do I feel about it?
Yeah, my challenge has been, and this is not, I'm just want to be clear, like the incidents that would happen in my social media are not like, you know, transphobic or homophobic or anything like that. It's just kind of like different than, you know, what I thought before. But those people, in most cases, I know them. Mm-hmm. So I would kind of understand their intent. And like you said, nigga, I agree. Your intent is not equal to your impact.
Nope.
But because I know them, I would be more inclined to be like, you know, text them like, look, what you doing? But because you said it in public now I have to deal with you a different way.
Right.
And that makes it complicated because I still know, like, I'm still going to go over your house and, you know what I'm saying? Like,
we still eat wings together. Like, we still going to get them with a couple wings.
Right. Our children might still play together, whatever. Like, I just really wish, and I've been trying to curate my spaces so that just the people know me, you know what I'm saying? Hopefully they know me, you know?
So there is a certain degree of recognition. Like, do you know who you really talk to? Mm-hmm. Right. And I don't know that has much to do with people who knew you then versus who know you now as much as it is about people who understand your line of thought and how you articulate it. I think there is some consistency to how we speak about the things that we're talking about. I feel like people who understand your rhythm of how you communicate know when you're joking. They know when you are being, for lack of a better term, facetious, like you're kind of being very lackadaisical about, you know, a thought. Like, I'll say some off the cuff stuff because I'm always sarcastic. You understand what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. But never to the point of like denigrating somebody.
Yeah.
But I also feel like people who continuously are kind of trying to push a boundary with you or are controversial for controversy's sake, when you get good at boundaries in real life, it carries over into other things.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So one thing that I've gotten really good at is when I've set a boundary about what you're going to say or how you're expressing yourself around me, if I can't really get with that, the same way I probably wouldn't hang out with you in personal space to the point where your presence reflects back on me, I don't necessarily gather up with you on social media either.
Right.
Does that make sense to you?
Yeah. That brings up the point. Are we helping ourselves with this type of curation? So
you're protecting
your space and you're making it safe. So Nick, you mentioned that you've curated your timeline a certain way, but you've also said that you've added people that you may not have a relationship with to know them, you know, that well. So that seems like a good balance where you have people who are not violating the sanctity of your space, but also you have maybe a divergence of ideas. And I think that's the balance to try to attain.
Right.
It's easy to just say, you don't think like me, you're gone. And then that's pretty harmful because now you've created your echo chamber. Now you've created people, you know what's going on outside of that thing.
Right.
But in this case, Nick, it seems like in a way you're taking the chance that someone else could be dangerous to the space.
Totally.
But it's working out for you.
I mean, I think, you know, for me, I think I'm a discerner of people, and I've friended lots of people that I don't personally know. I used to, my Facebook only used to be for my family and friends, people that I knew personally. Every person that was a friend on Facebook, I knew personally in real life. And then in some ways, like you said, it becomes an echo chamber. And then I also just really wanted to align myself with people who were thinking. Like, I wanted to, you know, as I was working through faith and all these things, I wanted to meet people who were thinking completely opposite. And so it's worked for me. I don't feel like I've ever, in terms of people that I don't know personally, I've had to really delete anyone. I've never had to, you know, and the one thing that you said that I really agree with was if a person that I do know personally says something that's off the cuff, I will text them or I will Facebook inbox them and say, hey, and I will call them on it immediately. You know, I love you, but I got to say X, Y, and Z. Can we talk about this? I think I used to, especially around like 2013, 14, when I was kind of newly coming into the fullness of myself, especially my blackness, I would shout you down. I would give you click links, documentary links. Yeah. Especially like, you know, around like Trayvon, Mike Brown, like those years of when we were dying, like every week, like I would go toe to toe with the white person easily. And, you know, I didn't mind it. And I put all the energy into that. And then I started to think like, wait a minute, this person sees exactly what I'm saying, and they're literally doing this to provoke a response out of me and my friends. And so finally, I just started saying, you know what? You don't get to obtain any of spaces, any of my spaces, my digital space, my real life. Delete, block, next. You know, and that for me was like taking the power back and being able to then again curate. This is when I log into Facebook, the experience that I want to have is one in which I laugh, I'm enlightened, I'm challenged, I'm reminded of growing up. I'm proud to be, you know, my Black self. That's what I want. Anything that doesn't make that flourish has to go. Mm-hmm. And so I log into Facebook and I'm fine. But I know lots of people are like, oh, it's evil and there's thirst traps. Those aren't the people I follow.
What we're talking about, whether they're online, superficial, whatever they are relationships of mm-hmm. some sort.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And relationships buffet each other. So, you know, if I want to do hood rat shit with my friends, you know what I'm saying? And that's all I want to do all the time. The people that are around me, even if they didn't want to do that at first, they'll start to lean that way. Right. Mm-hmm. And vice versa. So we do affect each other as we interact with each other. Uh-huh. So the hope is, as you start to maybe evolve some of your ideas, some of your harmful ideas from the past, the hope is that that would rub off on people around you. But that process takes time. And
it took you some time.
It took me some time. And I'm thankful for the people who were patient with me through that time, like you, Amira, who America easily just do a quick search and put me in the twist. But you know, she's not. Thank you.
But we serve a gracious God. Yeah, come on.
That could have threw us away
even when we were yet sinners. He could have thrown us away. But he died for us. And so she wanted to replicate what the Father did for her. Come on.
Grace and mercy.
Hallelujah.
So being thankful for the people who showed us that grace, mm-hmm. what does that look like as we're watching someone else in their evolution?
That's a good question.
So you talked about relationship, and sometimes you do have to consider, you know, what is the connection, overall connection with this person? And how far will this behavior play into the quality of that connection? Mm-hmm. Making that assessment and making it honestly can save you a lot of headache and heartache, because some people are not invested enough to allow for the critique that is coming, you know, for their behavior. But where there is relationship and where there is going to be some, you know, coming back around, you know, a family member or a friend, close friend. I think people are a little iffy about coworkers or whatever, and I get that. But I think you have to really, really think about your investment on the front end. I'm not here for it. At this particular stage, maybe if I was in my age-wise, if I was in my early 20s, where there's a lot of storming in your thoughts and your positions and your perspectives, or appears to be, and you really care about what group you're a part of and what you're representing, maybe I would. But at this particular stage, let me tell you, you don't want to read, fine. Mm-hmm. Okay. You don't want to listen to people's differing perspectives. You know what? Okay. You don't want to
write full sentences
and have a, you know, like a topic sentence and some supporting thoughts to that.
Nice.
You know what? Cool. Okay. Like, I'm not about to.
Amira's not for the shits.
I got friends. I'm like, we really move past punctuation. Like, we better friends than this punctuation that you forgot to put in here. Like,
listen,
this is,
and sometimes I gotta stop you because I want you to write better than that. But if I don't,
I don't want you to,
I'm not gonna want it more than you do. Okay, so if you want to continue to capitalize in the middle of the sentence because that's how you feel, and guess what? You get to do it. Okay, because that's not my post.
Right.
Like, I have come from a place of having to direct. I'm a director naturally. It's called a socializing director. I'm very friendly as I try to tell you what to do. I don't even do it no more. Mm. I've turned a lot of that energy toward me and myself and my endeavors, because that was a lot of energy that I couldn't get back.
Yep.
So it's not, you know, it's not super, super deep. But like I'm telling you, my gathering is very passive unless it is very active. If it is very active, that is something that's probably much deeper than a comment or an article or anything like that. But if you are out here as an adult carrying yourself a certain type of way in your late 30s and you refuse to read what we call primary sources and supporting documents and informing yourself and educating yourself on shit you know you don't know shit about.
Yeah.
Ooh, I'm going to let you.
That's a good point. We adults now. I mean, we really.
I'm going to let you. And I leave it for people who might have a little bit more tenor and energy to do all of that.
Right.
I'm not doing it. You're going to notice that I didn't say anything before you noticed that I did.
Okay, Nick. So
say much.
I've witnessed the Nicholas Gaines gathering.
Oh, Lord. What is that?
not the inbox one. Not the one that happens in the inbox. The one that happens in the timeline.
Okay.
Yeah. So okay. show us the way, Sensei.
Well, wait. Before I even say that, how do you experience my gathering is the question.
No. I've seen your eclectic group of people who are very intelligent and you've actually had to, I think it's predominantly men. We are terrible at this. Like, we really don't want to be wrong.
That's what I was thinking in my mind when we've been used to having
the mic our whole lives. And now we get the mic. We don't want
to. I can honestly say that when I was just giving that spiel, it was men in my mind that I know I have left to just, hey, I don't even care no more. It's too much to roll back down the hill to me when I know I'm right.
Yeah.
About certain things.
Especially about your entire experience about being a woman.
Thank you. But it's fine though.
So I watched. So.
Well, it's true. It is true. It is exhausting. Mm.
So this is one of the entertaining things for me. Like when I'm on somebody else's post, like maybe I've commented something, whatever, joke or whatever. Then somebody comes back, so I get the notification that says something else that I know is way out of pocket. Mm-hmm. And I know that person whose page it is going to have to deal with that comment. But when it's Nick, I'm like, yo, I'm checking all these notifications because I know Nick is about Brian, whoever that is. So Nick, You don't always go to the inbox. Sometimes you gotta do that relationship calculus and hit it.
Yeah, I do.
So kind of what goes into that for the people? Because this is a learning show, so people listening to this learn. Okay, I got some friends. I gotta gather. So
for me, it's a matter of one day. So before I even go into this, I read all the time, and I read probably maybe 30 or more articles a day. And I usually post on my Facebook maybe 5 to 6 of the things that I read every day. And I do that because when I was trying to learn and be different and grow into myself, I was reading all the stuff on different people's stuff. And I was like, you know what? I really want to be able to leave my circle of influence with something to think about, especially as it pertains to blackness or being queer or whatever the story is. So all that to say, one day I posted, there was a survey done of 10,000 women that said that more than half of the women that were surveyed either do not orgasm during sex or rarely orgasm during sex. And so
I remember
the numbers are there. So I posted it and that was that. A lot of times I know what I'm doing, right? I'm slightly ambiguous in what I'm saying, but I do it to stimulate conversation and I like people to talk. And generally I can walk away from a Facebook post and like 700 people have said something or 700 comments. So in this particular one, it got interesting because so many women were saying, this is so true. And so women were talking about this is true, or they started talking about men or women they've had experiences with. And then women started talking about like, this is what I do to curtail that, or this is how I communicate my sexual needs. And then out of nowhere, the Ashies came. The Ashy brothers came. Well, maybe if you would communicate better X, Y, and Z, it's your fault that you don't have an orgasm. Maybe next time you should do A, B, and C. Mm. There was one guy who commented, who it's sad because I really enjoyed this person on social media. They're an artist, so I really enjoy their work. And so I used to I see their art, and every time they would post something, I would comment like, this is beautiful, because they're all about black people and their art. But this one particular brother decided that on this day, not only did he have time, but he was going to sit and personally respond to every single woman that shared her story. Now, in terms of my Facebook, I let adults be adults. You can say what you want, do what you want. However, when it becomes damaging, harmful, or when it becomes bigoted, I will call you out and I will mute you. You gotta go. And not only before I do that, the person generally doesn't know they gotta go, but before I tell them they gotta go, they have to apologize to the group. Like, I'm sorry, you said X, Y, and Z, and this is why it's offensive. You need to apologize. And then I delete them and block them. but in this particular case, this guy started going to women in my post saying, well, maybe you should start considering not having sex when you're in a relationship and get to know the person better because God wouldn't approve of that. Sir, you don't know her. You don't get to tell her what she should be doing with her body. And your idea of God may not be her idea of God. So have a seat. And so I let this thing started going on. I was, you know, I'm a teacher. So I was, you know, I taught 4 classes and come back to 400 notifications. And so I started reading through each and I'm trying to parse through them. And finally, I started calling them out. Hey, so I generally don't call people out individually. I usually will say, and I always try to make a practice of this. Why don't we think about it this way? I think we could understand it better this way. Why don't we listen to what so-and-so is saying? I really think that they have a good point that would be helpful for us all. I really try to use inclusive language before I say, okay, John, you need to X, Y, and Z. And so I did that. I did my usual, hey, you know, let's come together. And he kept doing it. So then.
Oh, he was leaning in.
He leaned in. And it got to the point where he leaned in so much that it was becoming really misogynistic and really violent. And not violent in the sense of like, I'm going to harm you, but violent in the sense of telling women who they are or who they're not, telling them what their value is based off of what their sexual behavior is, and also telling them that they need to think more or be better so that they don't run into these experiences. And really, in some ways, gaslighting them too, because they would share an experience and he would say, that's not what happened. What happened is this, and you need to think of it this way. And so I then kind of was like, hey, you're done talking. Do not come back to this post. And then I started telling him like, hey, do you realize that this is misogynoir? Like, that's what this is. You're gaslighting. Like, I just started telling him what he was doing in front of everyone. And then I started to say, This is why this is a problem. Like, what we're not going to do on this post is tell women who have bodies and who have, you know, lives and experiences as women, as we are not, what they should be and what they shouldn't be, because we don't have that experience. So we should sit down and shut the hell up. He leaned in more. And so at that point, I told him, okay, at this point, you're done. You need to apologize to the people that you've offended on this page, both women and non-men, and you need to leave. And so he leaned in some more. And so then I sent him a personal inbox and I let it all out. This is what you did. You're muted. And so I actually muted this person. I blocked them for a week. And then maybe 2 weeks later, I had another something that I posted. And this person, you know, they were unblocked by that point. Not unblocked. They were, you know, restricted. I took them off of restriction and put them back in the general population. And they did it again. And so this person has now been blocked. But it's really important, I think, when we're trying to learn and grow, when we're trying to encourage people around us to learn and grow, and we're all exchanging ideas, and not just ideas, it gets really interesting for me when people share stories. When you start exposing your vulnerabilities on social media, whether it's you had an abusive husband, or you went to a church that was, you know, backwards, or you had something happen with your parents, you're sharing your truth. And what I'm not going to have on my space, on my watch, you know, insert a Yonla gif, hit the table, is someone to denigrate someone or someone to devalue someone's experience because they perceive themselves as the expert on an experience that's not their own. Mm-hmm. So all that being said, I love when we can all learn and grow from each other. But as the person that's, you know, it's my space, you don't get to come in here with that. And so as Maya Angelou says, my last thing with this, she was on Oprah and she says that when she was at her house, that if someone said something that was homophobic, or someone said something that was bigoted, she says that words have power and that words stick to things. They stick to clothes. They stick to walls. They stick to our spirits. And she said that she felt like she was in charge of moderating what words were spoken in her home because those words carry energy. And so she says if she heard someone at one of her parties that she invited people to in her home say something that was bigoted or say something that was offensive, she would just walk over to them and say, is this your coat? And that was how she exited people out of her house.
She was an Aries. That's right.
Is this your coat? And so I believe in that, what she said, that words carry power. And so we're going to have this wonderful conversation. But the minute that you start being bigoted and that you start denigrating people and that you engage in your misogynoir because you have to have the microphone, sir, is this your coat? You got to go.
I feel that.
That's the whole beautiful word right there. Is this your that's coat? It. That's the gathering right there. You got the person and the belongings. Things.
And is this your coat?
Oh, that's about to be. Everybody about to be mad.
I think every piece of advice that I would have ever thought of was in with that story that you just told. I don't. That is perfect. I mean, I'm gonna sit back and take some notes now as I'm running through this jungle again. But this is an odd, maybe not odd, show to have around Advent and Christmas, and we'll talk about that next week. But this happens all the time. It's happening every week. So
don't take people's foolishness in the 2019. We try and help.
This is your space. It's your house. Protect your space. Protect your energy. Protect those people around
protect
you.
Protect your intellectual property. When you be giving up all them words, you have worth and value.
Yes.
Protect all of that.
Words mean things.
Yes.
All right, Nick, thanks a lot for walking us through this, man.
Nick.
This was short, sweet, and impactful. I'm loving this.
It's funny.
Yes.
All right, y'all, for Faith Uncut, I'm yours, Mike.
And I'm Amira. And that's Nick.
This is Nick.
For more on Faith Uncut, check us out at faithuncut.com.